Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Wednesday morning to you. We made it to Hump Day, as they call it. Is that still allowed on the radio? Anyway, it should be like happy we don't call them the Boy Scout Day anymore. We just call them the Scouts or something like that, because the wokeification of America is now finalized. So anyway, more on that maybe later in the program. Coming up on today's program, Jerry Carl here in about a half hour. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Joy Clark, our Wednesday regular, now back on a regular rotation. And Paul DeMarco, and Paul and I, we're going to get into this in a minute. Wow, I was telling the guys this in the last hour. Never seen anything quite like the legislature turning on Alpha, the farmers. Remember the other half of the Big Mule Planters Coalition. In the history of Alabama, we have broken a new ground. So make of that what you will, but that is certainly where we are here with regard to gambling. It won't die, won't go away. The storyline will go away, I think, probably. The bill is dead. We could get into that in just a moment. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What you got to do, you got to get your texting device out. Except for Ricky, just leave the flip phone in your pocket. The burner phone stays in the pocket. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You're still banned. So anyway, enough of that. Let's kick it off here. Anybody enthralled as I am with the, Stormy Daniels stuff. Is this where they get him? Let's kick it off here and let me kind of roll out what I think is going on. I've always thought this about this New York case and the hush money, or whatever you want to call it, bookkeeping scandal with this trial. It's twofold, actually. And you kind of watch it. You watch what's going on here, guys. They think, so we'll say they, the media and Democrats and anybody who's a never-Trumper or an opponent of Donald Trump, they never have understood the bond between Donald Trump and his supporters. They haven't. They just don't get it. They don't understand that connection. Why do you like Donald Trump? And that's just it. Like, why are people voting for this guy? And they're so, like, simple-minded and elitist. And sneering at the TV camera when they talk about it. They just don't understand how you Bible-thumping hillbillies out there would ever vote for a guy like this. Well, I know how we'll get him. We'll prove that he's a philandering adulterer. We'll show that he's a scumbag, because we'll make it. We'll get people to testify under oath that show that he's not loyal to his wife, and so on and so forth. It's like you're too stupid to believe that Donald Trump is a Manhattan playboy. And, you know, for better or for worse. And I've always said this about Trump, going back to the 2016 election, these people don't understand what that connection between Trump and his supporters is. Late Rush Limbaugh used to say this. But here's the added angle. What they think, because if you ever spend 15 minutes watching Morning Joe and watch Mika Brzezinski try to, like, figure this out, and the whatever panel of B-list Washington, D.C. pundits they assemble, they think it's just that you guys look at him as some kind of role model, as some kind of, like, Billy Graham figure, that you find Donald Trump to be this man of outstanding moral character, and you want your kids to be like him, and they think they know what you don't know. and they're going to expose him and show you that he is not what, you know, not what you think he is, but they're wrong about what you think he is. That's what they're wrong about. I said this all along. The loyalty to Donald Trump comes from a place like this. People are tired of their way of life being threatened. They're tired of their religion being threatened by a bunch of pseudo-intellectual elitists who want to tell the church that it must mandate or it must adhere to a mandate to offer contraception with its health plan, or that it must perform same-sex weddings, or that it must, you know, the social engineering of America, taking boy out of Boy Scouts kind of stuff, right? They think, or people think that's coming their way. That train's moving down the track. Who would have ever seen this coming? And they know that, like, an Obama and a Biden and the people that they surround themselves see organized religion. They don't really, number one, believe in it at all. They think it's just smoke and mirrors. They think it's an opiate for the masses, as one says about it. And that, you know, it's not really real. Your faith is just silly. But they just have no respect for it. Still, they will acknowledge it. And they don't understand how, if you believe all this stuff in the Bible, that crazy stuff in the Bible, and that Jesus walked on water and he healed the sick and blind and performed all these miracles and died for your sins. If you really believe that witchcraft, then how could you possibly back a guy like Donald Trump? So this trial's underway to show that he's like messing around with porn stars or whatever, that he is not. And they think by putting this on the stand is going to separate you from the former president. That's what this is all about. I am convinced of that. It is very dubious legal standing. What are they actually trying him for? They just have an opportunity to call witnesses to the stand and drag out a bunch of dirty laundry. And the media, with a wink and a nod, act like this is some kind of serious legal proceeding. And they roll out all the legal experts. All of the, like, Joyce Vance, Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred types. And they talk about, well, you know, I watched the jury's body language today. They did not like it when Stormy Daniels talked about how she was looking up the ceiling during the deed. Or whatever. And it's meant to smear Trump because you silly Bible thumpers are going to frown upon any kind of adultery. But they just don't, it's like not seeing the forest for the trees and understanding the whole relationship. Understanding someone who is like, won't shy away from patriotism, saying Merry Christmas. That it is very defiant toward the political correctness in our culture. It's not an ideological thing at all. It's a traditions thing. It's not being afraid to be pro-America. I mean, and they try to like taint it by calling it Christian nationalism to make it sound like white nationalism. Try to make it be perceived to be something that it isn't. So, that's what I'm convinced is going on here with all of that. It's just a misunderstanding of the psychological makeup of Trump supporters. And look, James the Troll, you could agree or disagree with that, but if you really want Joe Biden to win elections, what is going on here with this court TV sort of campaign? It's not going to work. I'm telling you. His numbers keep going up every time you guys do this. Why do you think that is? I mean, for two reasons. No one believes a damn word they're hearing on these left-leaning outlets. And then the second part is you're making him a victim. You're turning him into a martyr. Every time you indict Donald Trump, every time you raid his home, every time something like this happens, Joe Biden goes down in the polls. And you see this, and you got to be sitting there thinking, well, what do we got to do here? Well, clearly not this, but you keep doubling down on it. So I watch this, and I watch how these people react on TV, and they're like, and what kills me, either they're really stupid, that they think this stuff is, like, legitimately, like, a serious use of American jurisprudence, or they are just, like, playing a role, like they're actors, and really, like, pushing you, just pushing your buttons, playing, like, the necessary talking head kind of thing. But it's not serious. We will look back at this in 20 years, and you'll be like, yeah, I see what was going on there. I get it. But what, I guess what I hate about this more than anything is that I had to spend time talking on it. There's nothing I could care less about than a Donald Trump like sexcapade. Okay, if you're naive to think that politicians at that high level we can't say Boy Scouts anymore. But they all were laser focused on like a high standard of morality. I mean, this is what power does to people. James, he is a martyr. Your crowd has made Donald Trump into a victim. And you could say you don't think that he is. Well, that's fine. But what you've created is a perception that the media, the Democrat politicians, the Biden administration, and now some sneering Democrat prosecutors are targeting him because he is a president of the United States that they did not like, that they would want to keep off the ballot. That is where you have turned him into a martyr. And perception is the reality here in elections. But this is what this is. This is what you've done. This is a bad strategy. I am telling you guys. It is backfiring. You're throwing everything you got at him. Not that any Democrat that's part of this idea here, this big idea of, like, just use lawfare any way possible to get accomplished what you want to accomplish is listening to this program. But are we not watching these trends? One more time. A twice indicted former president. I mean, twice impeached former president, indicted multiple times with 90-something felony counts or whatever it is they're throwing at him, but with special prosecutors bearing down on him, is beating the incumbent president of the United States in the national polls as a Republican. Name me a Republican who was the last Republican up in the pop in the national polls over a Democrat head to head? I'll wait. Like 7 out of 10 national polls have Donald Trump up over Joe Biden. What was the last time? It had to be Bush Kerry. I can't, because everybody since what? McCain, Obama, Romney, Obama, and even Trump, Trump, Clinton, and then Trump, Biden. The Democrat was always leading national polls. So what you've done, ladies and gentlemen, what they have done is that what Republicans couldn't accomplish, Democrats have put a Republican ahead of the presidential polls. Maybe we should hire them. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hill raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Coming to you live like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. It's open to everybody out in radio land. Find the love just as
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. 06 need to be in touch with the show. Once again, you got to text me, and we will respond to the best of our abilities. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk to our good buddy Jerry Carlin. He'll be calling in any second now. Alex and Carlin, right before that bottom of the hour break. So I think we got everything muted this time. But we're ready for you, Congressman, if you're out there listening. One other thing I want to get to before we get to our next guest, and then we'll get to your text messages probably a little bit later, but keep them coming. We do appreciate the feedback, 251-343-0106. You may be asking yourself, what the heck is going on in Montgomery, Alabama? So those of you who don't keep are kind of watching this gambling stuff, the latest chapter in this saga that it looks like it's done. It's not going to happen this year. And there's some bitterness out there. I mean, and you know, it makes sense. You had two members spend the entirety of their off season, if you will, on this gambling situation. But Chris Blackshear, our buddy from Phoenix City, and Andy Witt, who I got to know when I was on at WVNN up in Huntsville. He's from Harvest, kind of one of the more affluent, but it's rural too, suburbs of Huntsville. And kind of bitter that it went down the way it did after all the hard work, after putting in all the effort. They did not get their gambling bill. So Andy Witt, Sam Jones, probably another one to some degree, not to the degree of Blackshear and Witt. Sam Jones, our former mayor here. They were on a House conference committee that got the gambling bill to the floor of the House and sailed through the House last week. Goes upstairs almost immediately to the Senate and dies. One vote, one solitary vote. Unexpectedly, Greg Allbritton votes no, and then a couple of others that were yeses, Lance Bell and our buddy Chris Elliott, vote no, essentially killing it. You needed 21. They only were able to muster 20 votes. And they've been spending the last few days roaming the hallways in the Alabama State House looking for that last vote, and they haven't been able to get it. So the pro-gambling crowd is very bitter about it, and they're blaming the farmers. Wow, the farmers, why would the farmers care about gambling? They historically in Alabama, ALFA, the Alabama Farmers Federation, has been the biggest opponent of gambling in Alabama. A staunch opponent. They have their reasons. But historically, going back decades, probably almost a century, have staunchly disapproved of gambling. And I think now there's a little bitterness out there because yesterday in a conference committee for the Education Trust Fund, the House said, "The hell with you, farmers," stripped out money that was earmarked for this ag center. You're like, well, what are you talking about, an ag center? So Alabama doesn't have anything like this. As steeped in agriculture as it is, it's sort of a fairground slash, it's a facility where agriculture has their big events. I've been to the one in Georgia. Donald Trump spoke at it or did a rally at it in 2021 in Perry, Georgia. But it exists to kind of like showcase agriculture and where you have their fairs and, you know, who has to get the prize pumpkin contest or, you know, in the fall or so they'll have a rodeo there or they'll have, right now that place is Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery and it's a little underwhelming. So anyway, they finally found a location, the Hallmark Farm, just north of Birmingham, Warrior. And I was telling the guys earlier, if you ever go up that way, you can't miss it. It's on the side of the interstate. It's a big farm right before you cross the Warrior River there. And they're going to make that the new ag center. Well, the state put some money into it. And these members who sit on this conference committee that were also on the gaming conference committee said, "The hell with you. We're taking that money out. And must see it as punishment." 251-343-0106. That's the text line. We'll see where this goes. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Jeff Porter Show and FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. I promise I'll get to your text here over the next few segments. Just keep them coming. And as always, usually, unless it's at the very, very end of the show, you get your voice heard. That's the best way to contact the program. Still to come, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. One of our Wednesday regulars will be with us. Also, Paul DeMarco, and we'll talk state legislative politics. Always a fascination there. Joining us now, however, always kind to come on this show, and we always appreciate his time and making time for this program. Jerry Carl, our congressman here in what will is still the first congressional district for now. But Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. How about you?
I'm it's just always like staying busy. So there's a lot to try to pretend that I'm an expert on. So that keeps me.
I saw you in Montgomery. What was it, Saturday? And then been watching your posts, and you were there in Hoover.
Yes. Was it a Hoover City Council? Hoover City Council meeting on Monday. Well, we had the delegates on Saturday. Took a break on Sunday to write a Lanyap column and do some other things. And then on Monday, there was the Hoover City Council stuff. Yesterday was the legislature, and we're finally back at the Fairhope Bureau today, finally.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, you and I haven't really talked about this a whole lot, but I am curious to hear what you think. This stuff going on college campuses and, you know, the weird sort of offshoot of the Hamas-Israel conflict there. I mean, it's really impacting our domestic politics in ways that we probably couldn't have foreseen. And you start to hear a lot of chatter in Congress about, well, maybe we need to look at some of these actors in this and, you know, kind of question how this came to be. What do you make of what's going on around the country?
Well, Jeff, I'm old enough to remember the 60s when all the kids were, you know, taking campuses over, but they didn't destroy and tear things up that I remember. I mean, there was a lot of protest, and I'm all about protest. You've been in Washington enough to know there's protesters. Somebody's always protested something up here, and I'm very open-minded to that. But this has moved to a new level. You know, when they're displacing, you know, some of our landmarks, and they're just blatantly stopping traffic and breaking laws, and that's on a whole different level. I think we do need to figure out who's funding it. So many of these different protests look alike. Same sign, same tent, same everything. So there's got to be some people funding it. What do you do? You just expose it. I mean, I don't think there's any law broke by funding it. But you know, I met with AIPAC when this first started. I went with them over to Israel, and I know you've heard me tell the story of playing with those very kids that got a lot of them were decapitated. My wife and I played with those kids. So, when Hamas attacked Israel, AIPAC called me immediately and talked to me about it. They said they would lose the propaganda war that was going to break out. They knew that. So, and that's what we're looking at now. I mean, it's just negative, negative, negative. They follow us down the halls. We get out on the streets. They're following us in the streets, sticking cameras in our face and doing, you know, pretty much what they want to do. I'm fine with it until they touch me. When they touch me, I guess it'll be on. But I think we need to figure it out. I think some of these professors that are actually pushing this and on payroll, they need to pay a price. Because we don't need to teach kids to antagonize and aggravate and be disrespectful. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to protest that opinion and be heard. We want to hear it. But you may actually learn something from it. Maybe not this protest, but any protest. But to track people down and to deface public property, we can't do that. What's the difference between that and January 6th?
Right. Well, they would just say the venue and it might be in the Capitol, but you know, it's I find it hard to believe this, and I'm just cynical by nature, that this is a serious issue, what's going on over there, and I'm not trying to downplay it at all, But I fail to believe that a 18 to 22 year old college student cares this much about what's going on over there.
Well, you know, from 18 to 22, you're not real smart, Jeff. You know, your parents are the dumbest creatures on earth. You know, it's that period of time that, you know, you're smarter than the whole world. I get it. I truly get it. But, you know, my parents taught me, my mother taught me to be respectful of other people and people's property. And I was not the best of kids growing up. And I talk freely about it, especially to my own children. But what they're doing is, it's like they had no parents. You know, maybe there ought to be some parents brought out there in jail.
But Congressman, like when you were 18, when you were that age range, well, I'm going to speak for myself here because, I mean, I don't know. But that was like a list of Jeff Poor priorities in those formative years at Auburn University. Going out to the Hamas Israel protest, or whatever the protest would have been of the late 90s, would have been somewhere down between like straightening out my 8-track collection and I don't know, like learning about astronomy. It's just like, you know, you look at what's going on in your average college student's life, and this just seems like it just seems so fake and astroturfish and people looking for like meaning in their life. And maybe it is like looking up to college professors or whatever, but it's a phenomenon that's just very peculiar to me.
Well, it's a great time for parents to have a teaching moment. If you send your kid on that TV and they're one of those that are defacing, again, if they're protesting, more power to them. But if they're literally defacing and being a part of that and encouraging that, some parents need to have some conversation. Pull them out of school. I mean, I would, if I caught them defacing, they'd be out of school, period. If I was in control of anything, get them out. But you had got to get rid of about one or two. I don't want to give any names or anything, but I had dinner with one of the presidents of a major university the other night, and they were worried about Columbia, and he asked me what I thought. I said, well, the first thing I'd do is shut the water and the power off. And just control the doors going in and out. And I said, once their phones run out of power, they will panic. They will not know what to do. They will come out of that building like ants. And it's true. You think about it. That's a good way to bring it to an end. And then go and do what you need to do to clean up. Nobody wants violence. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. But, you know, the age of those kids, everything evolves around their mode of communication, which is their cell phones.
Well, Coach, or Senator Tuberville and I were talking about this Saturday, and I think this is a possibility. The kind of college students that these universities are bringing in from abroad, that maybe this plays a role. Who's getting student visas? Now, he insists that the Chinese are way more of a threat overall to the country, but is it possible that some of these anti-Israel, anti-Jewish views are being imported to our college campuses?
Well, you look at a lot of the leaders in foreign countries, and they went to school in the United States. I can't give you one for example, but I remember meeting, I want to say it was the King Jordan's son. I was at a dinner with him. I want to say he went to school in New York City. And I may be totally off on that. I'm trying to jar my memory. But you know, it's sad when we can't get our local kids, our citizens, into these, and the foreign students take over. I think they are mandatory to take a certain amount of foreign students. I'm not sure about that. Federal government's got so many things they impose on our education system, and the coach should obviously know a whole lot more than I do about that. You know, I'm a big supporter of higher education, but I'm also a big supporter of teaching kids trades. You know, I've spoke to many young people about what they're going to do in the future, and I always use the example of, you know, when I graduated, those of us who could afford it, we went to school, college. The ones that couldn't afford it went to a trade school and learned a trade. Here I am still working, and a buddy of mine that learned to be an electrician. He's retired and lives on the top floor of a condo over in Orange Beach. And they kind of understand that. You know, they kind of get it because right now it's all about money and their futures. And so, you know, the trades are so important. But I know I'm chasing a rabbit down a hole there. But we need to put less emphasis on higher education in this country and more focus on learning the trade. I mean, that's a lifetime job. You'll never be without a job if you're a plumber or electrician, period.
Well, and you're right. But, you know, when I was growing up, it was always this. And you know, Congressman, you know, you get a college education and you're going to be made for life. And my grandparents, you know, they didn't even finish high school. The college was just like insane to think about. And so we got in a place where everybody, it wasn't just like, okay, you should go to college. I guess after the GI Bill and World War II, a lot of people who didn't get to go to college got to go to college. But sometime in the 80s, 90s, they said, well, everybody should go to college. And as you could tell, like that policy decision of making that available has had pretty big implications on the U.S. economy.
Well, I don't proudly say this, but, you know, I made it through one quarter of college. And actually made the grades, but I knew I didn't want to sit there for 4 years and do what I was doing. So I left and got busy trying to figure out, you know, another route, which my route has always been in sales and marketing and people. You know, I've made a living off of, you know, encouraging people, motivating people to sell, doing what I do with people. But I've met so many people in my life that never got a college education. You know, that's got a ton of common sense. And it takes us a long way. I respect people that do. And certainly up here in Washington, especially, you're surrounded by some brilliant young people. They really are just top notch and they're our future. But don't underestimate that kid that had to struggle between 18 and 22 to dig out, you know, a future. And, now those are the ones going to wind up owning, Yellowwood or some big corporation that we all think they just fell into. They didn't. They had to work for every bit of it.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here from the 1st Congressional District for a few more minutes. Congressman, as we head into this election cycle, I mean, it still looks like to me, and I know you've been on the campaign trail, but there on Capitol Hill, still seems to, the ticket still seems to be about what's going on down at the southern border.
It's all about the southern border. It's scary. It truly is. Nothing has changed. Our conversation Saturday, nothing's going to change if we get Biden out of the way. We've got, you know, the HR2 that's been there in the Senate. They won't even bring it up. That's an answer to all of it. But nothing's going to change until election time if we get Biden out of the way. My biggest fear right now is all the money that's sitting dormant that has not been spent. If Biden loses in November, you'll see him rushing to throw all that money out into the economy, just totally waste it. We're talking billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that we could actually pull back and put into, hey, maybe some infrastructure projects like a bridge in Mobile across the bay. I mean, we can do other things with that money other than waste it on these startup solar cell companies that just seem to pop up and get a lot of money and then disappear. But, you know, on the positive side, you know, we're getting some stuff accomplished here. I put me a punch list together of things I wanted to get accomplished before I leave here in January. Underwater Forest, in which Bradley Burns actually started it when he was in office, I finally got it through the House Natural Resource Committee on markup, so it'll come up on the floor in the near future. We've just co-sponsored Save Our Shrimpers Act, which will protect us from government money going to foreign shrimpers. As strange as that may sound, our shrimpers are getting a buck 10, a buck 15 per pound at the dock when the Vietnamese can ship it over here for less than that because we're actually subsidizing their shrimp. So we've got to stop that. We've got to stop our money from going to foreign shrimp corporations. So that's some of the things we're still fighting on.
Hey,
we got a big one. We got a big one today to watch. A big one today. Today we will vote on the citizenship question on the census. Most people don't realize that that Mobile, for example, the population there should be based on citizens. But now the way it's set up, they've taken the citizenship question out, so it would actually be larger. And where's that important? Somewhere like San Diego would have a 10 to 12% larger population, so they would get they would have more of an advantage when it comes to members here in Congress.
Right.
So what we'll vote on today is actually put that citizenship question back in there and not allow the citizens to be actually counted in the census. That's an important thing today, and we feel pretty confident that was going to pass.
Real quick, we'll get you out of here on this. Mike Johnson, Speaker, he's hanging in there. I mean, he is, I think, you know, and how he's doing it, we could debate the merits of, but it's impressive that he's withstanding a lot of these I don't know, sort of right flank offenses.
If Mike Johnson was not so strong in his faith, I doubt he could do what he's doing. But he's strong enough in his faith that he's just walking blindly into some of this, and it's working. It is truly working. And I feel for him. I talk to him on the floor quite often. I encourage him. I pray for him. I do everything I'm supposed to do. But he's got a lot of harpoons right now being thrown at him by people that have got no business talking about anybody. They need to get their own stuff cleaned up first. Mike's impressive. He's a godly man. He's here for all the right reasons. I said that long before the speaker. I was friends of his, been a friend of his for a while. So he's the right man for the times. He truly is.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Stay safe up there, and let's catch up again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Good talking to you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. Congressman Jerry Carl there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. What you got to do, you got to text me. Let me know what is on your mind. Well, a little breaking news there during the last segment here. looks like that big ag center, farm center thing that we were talking about is back in the budget. Or it's about to be once the House and Senate vote on it. But the farmers called the bluff here, and it looks like they're going to win. We'll see. Let's see here. From Jeff Sanders, Capital Journal tweets this: Conference Committee finally passes out Farm Center bill after two out of three members show up. Andy Witt denies the claim that he didn't show up yesterday to protest the Senate's failure to pass gambling legislation. So there is a, I don't know. We'll never know the truth there. And the State House was abuzz yesterday about all of this. Spent a few hours there on my way home from Birmingham, and the moment I pulled in there, my, Senate reporter told me this was going down, and it just appeared to be retaliation, for gambling. And two of the actors were just happened to be gambling co-sponsors. And here we are now. Looks like they're working on a do-over, if you will. And Alpha is going to get the money put back into the budget for this farm center. But we'll find out more details as the show unfolds. Just as I say always, keep your texts coming. And we do appreciate any kind of feedback you want to offer this program. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. You just hit us up on that text line. Let's see here. Good morning, Jeff. This is Bob from Foley. I see that the Boy Scouts changed their name. What about the Girl Scouts? Well, that name changed. It'd be really confusing if the girls dropped
Girl Scouts dropped girl from Girl Scouts. The Boys Scouts dropped boy from Boy Scouts. So you had two Scouts. This is all about the transgender movement, and I can talk more about that later, that decision by the Boy Scouts. And this is a wokeification, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.
It is time to get real with Shannon Hesse, the qualifying broker at Wise Living Real Estate in Fairhope. Swimming pools, good thing to have or not so much?
You know, there's a lot of great things about adding a pool to your house. When my children were younger, one of their best friends had a pool, and that's where they spent the majority of their time. It was a great way for those parents to keep their
children up your voice.
And somewhere safe.
FM Talk.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Wednesday morning to you. Hour number two now underway. Text line 251-343-0106. Get to your text here in just a moment. Coming up still on the program, Joy Clark, about a half hour from now, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our Wednesday regular, and Paul DeMarco, another regular on the program. A little bit of a change in the news. This long sorted gambling ordeal, that's been going on and consuming my life, probably not yours. Last week he kind of hit a high point. A conference committee of House members and senators had a big breakthrough moment. They had a bill that they agreed on. You had conferees and you had pro gambling guys rejoicing all across the fruited plains of Alabama. And immediately, the speaker gets it on the floor in the House. It sails through. A very minimal opposition, and then on to the Senate, where most of us thought it was just going to go on through, that it was just going to happen. And lo and behold, at the bewitching hour of like 11:15 p.m., when it finally does get the vote, they were one vote shy. Three no votes that were yes votes last time that were anticipated yes votes. Our own State Senator Chris Elliott, Lance Bell from Pell City in St. Clair County, and Greg Albrin, of the mighty Porch Creek fame there in Atmore, voted no. His constituents did not like it. And he's gone on and done a pretty good job. He was on Sean's show yesterday. What was the day before yesterday? Explaining his no vote, the bill didn't do. It wasn't enough for him. So in the meantime, there's a couple of ongoing discussions where we're going to find that one vote. And there was some speculation that the legislature would put some heat on Alpha. Who's Alpha? The Alabama Farmers Federation, very powerful constituency in Alabama politics. And the idea was if they could get Alpha to relent just for 5 minutes, let Jack Williams in our listening area, State Senator Jack Williams, vote yes. He voted yes last time. Maybe he could vote yes this time and switch him from a no to a yes. And the theory was that he was a no because he wants to be ad commissioner. He's running in a statewide campaign, and you can't be ad commissioner, have the backing of the farmers, and be pro-gambling. It doesn't happen. Ask Gerald Dial, who ran for that spot. Anyway, so long story short, everybody wants to blame the farmers for gambling not happening this session. A lot of anger out there. Steve Raby, who's the speaker's right-hand man, like kind of going around spying at Alpha events, I'm told, and they're blaming the farmers. We didn't get gambling. We did get a lottery. You didn't get democracy in action and a chance to vote on the lottery. It's all the farmers' fault. So yesterday, they're going through the usual budget procedures. General fund budget's done. Now they're awaiting the finalization of the big budget, the education budget, because we spend more on education than everything else put together. And one of the line items in it was money for a farm center. And you're like, well, what the heck does a farm center have to do with that education? Well, so money for the education budget is generated from tourism dollars, and the state puts an emphasis on tourism. They make more money for our school children, and that's sort of the game there. And this ag center is meant to generate tourism dollars, so why not take any kind of incentives, any kind of funding from the education budget and put it toward that? So nonetheless, that's what they did. They said, okay, this is something the state really needs. It serves a function. Other states do it. An ag center, what the heck's an ag center? And once again, the current ag center, quote unquote, is Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery, but it was a building built like in the 1200s or something, I was told. And they want something new now. They want something like what Georgia has. That's a facility with, like, I guess they could, you know, have livestock shows and auctions. They could do rodeos. They could do fairs. They could do contests or whatever. They just need a place to host all this, and this available, what they decided on was a place called Hallmark Farms in North Jefferson County. The legislature was going to put some money into that. Well, during the conference committee proceedings, as the House and the Senate are trying to iron out their differences, and that's how this happens. The House will pass a bill, the Senate will pass a bill. And to find common ground, the way they go about it is... The each chamber will appoint three members. And typically what it is, two Republicans and one Democrat. And so you got three House members, three Senate members. They go into a room and they start negotiating and bargaining, and they come up with a report. There's something in the middle, and then it goes back to the chambers, and the entire body votes on what they had come up with, and then that becomes what goes to the governor's desk. Well, in this instance, the House conferees took out money for this ag center that the state was going to give to help it come to be. And it was seen, it wasn't really explicitly stated, but it was seen as retaliation for the farmers opposing gambling and everybody in that town blaming the farmers for not getting the opportunity to pass the gambling bill. So, I mean, it was really kind of heated, and people thought, well, one of these guys may fold and flip his vote over this. Well, the last 18 hours or so, no one flipped their vote. In fact, Shea Sheldon, a state senator from Jefferson County, from Trussville, from Scott Muncher's neck of the woods, has started filibustering and slowing everything down in these last couple of days, because this is in his district, and he's like, all these House bills, all these bills that these House members wanted the Senate to vote on, we're going to run the clock out on you because of what you've done. Well, this morning, I think cooler heads have prevailed, and the funding for the Ag Center looks like it's going to be back in the education budget. So essentially, Shea Shelnut, who doesn't speak a whole lot, who I've only been able to get on radio two times in like the last 5 years, is very media shy, led the most boring filibuster in the history of Alabama yesterday. It wasn't one of these riveting, not that any of them are really all that riveting, but sometimes they're kind of funny when you watch like a Bobby Singleton and Roger Smitherman kill time in the Senate talking about what they had for lunch. Well, this didn't really measure up to that, but it looks like they're getting the funding back in it, and they called the bluff, and we'll see how the day goes. But that's sort of your update there, the long way around me trying to explain the inner workings of the Alabama legislature. All right, here we go. Text messages. Sorry it took me so long. Let's see. Summerdale Tony writes, I don't believe they really think they have a shot at putting Trump in jail for these cases. They're just doing what they're doing. They set out to do, keeping him off the campaign trail, and put all kinds of salacious details out into the public that may not have known before. Yes, I suspect you're right on that. Paul, it's not Donald Trump. He is the only one who loves the country besides maybe DeSantis and wants to save it. We'll see what else we got here. Unnamed texture. I like President Trump because he has been able to show us just how crooked the swamp is in D.C. We kind of knew the swamp was a little corrupt, right? It didn't take Donald Trump to show us that. I would argue this, that it's the exact opposite. That Donald Trump, the corruptness of the swamp, if you will, is the reason Donald Trump was elected. Mr. Blunt, isn't it funny how they never act that way toward Islam? It is. It's a double standard. On a texture, my hero spanking Stormy, smiley face. Tim, Jeff, Trump is getting tried for something that happened 18 years ago. Is there some sort of statute of limitations on these kinds of things? Yes, but no. That's another one of these legal dubious questions that the prosecutors are assuming, making assumptions about it. And so far it's working for them. Joel, you could say transgender. Sean, isn't there a slush fund in Congress to pay off people for all of the weird sex stuff our representatives are into? Yes, there was. Bradley Baird told this story a bunch of times on the campaign trail, how he played a role in ending it. But there was. James, the official troll of the Jeff Poor Show, very, very prolific this morning. Wow, James, you have a lot to say. So you believe that Trump is the savior and will make everyone respect religion? Did you purchase the $59.99 Bible? It's blasphemy, and any real Christian should know the difference. He's no martyr. He's a bone-spurred, grabbing women by the privates con man supported by pundits like you. LOL, the perception is he's too stupid to keep his pecker in his diaper, shaming his current wife, sleeping with porn stars. LOL, a martyr, you say. Since running, he has never won the majority vote. Jeff, what WTF are you talking about? He has I'm not saying that he has won a majority vote, James. I'm saying he's up in the polls in the popular vote, and he's about to win a majority vote. He's going to be the first Republican to do it since Bush versus Kerry in 20 years because your stupid party is playing this completely wrong. Like, it didn't take, like, any kind of brilliant marketing strategy or campaign strategy by the RNC. All it took was Democrats overstepping what they think they got here and overplaying their hand for Donald Trump to have a lead over Joe Biden. Joe Biden should be burying Trump right now. Trump is a twice impeached, 95 felony charges or whatever it is against him. Just has a pile of baggage. And how is he beating Joe Biden, James? That should tell you something. What you're doing, what they're doing here, they're doing you, the liberal, rabid, crazy guy who texted to the right-wing talk show host, a disservice. What they're doing here. This is not how you're going to win and keep Joe Biden in office. This is a losing strategy is what I'm trying to tell you. They have made him a martyr. You can say he's no martyr, and I don't think that he is a martyr. But the perception is that he is. That he's falling on the sword of all these charges because the swamp does not like him, so they're throwing everything they can at him to keep him out of office, and they're turning him into a hero. That is what is going on here. You cannot like it. You can hate it. You can be mad. You can text me all you want, but that is what's going on, and you're going to lose the 2024 presidential election because of it. He continues, I love this. Here's how stupid and inept Republicans are. Punish the farmers because they are too inept to get gambling passed. I love Trump, his bone spur, his grabbing women ability to con uneducated base cult members. Just to be clear, I'm no Biden supporter. I'm taking the lesser of two evils. But the second evil you are trying to, whatever, the lesser of the two evils is going to lose because Democrats are bad at what they do. They ought to be fired, James. This is a losing strategy. Did you think Fannie Willis was going to be the savior here? Dirt Digger. As Par Harvey, the late Par Harvey said, God loves a farmer, so the bunch of Montgomery better wake up. Gambling is against the Bible and the Lord. Fire Dog. Gas near my house was $1.64 under was under $4. I was spending, or 45. I was spending $5,000 a year on food overall. Democrats like Gene had to answer for that in November, and they don't have one. No new wars under Trump and a weak President Biden internationally. Longer text. Maybe I'll try to finish it up in the next segment. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. My Dixieland
and I. More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all,
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Coming up in the next segment, Joey Clark from Montgomery Radio, News Talk 93.1. News and views on from noon to 3 if you're ever up that way. Paul DeMarco also coming up as well. Let's see here. I was going to finish Fire Dog's text because it was very long. No new wars under Trump and a weak president, Biden internationally weak. Democrats didn't have an answer for either. The college protest ADs during the upcoming election wrote themselves. There are zero Republican fingerprints on higher ed. The war zone Democrats run cities. Trump slept with a porn star. Don't care. Let's see. What else we got here? Mariner. Where was Jerry on speaking out when Confederate monuments were being destroyed and monuments being removed in the middle of the night by the mayor? Gene. So Jerry paid off by AIPAC, as are so many of our politicians. 100 million plus, no wonder anti-Semitism is the most important topic in Congress. This actually does more harm to Israel because not all voters are drinking the Kool-Aid that Jerry is drinking. I disagree with that. You guys, you put too much of an emphasis on money. Do you think that people are pro-Israel just because the existence of AIPAC? And even if even if you think that's the case, there's nothing illegal about it. I mean, after Citizens United, these groups can do what they want to do. But I've never gotten a dime from any of these people. That is true, Ricky, whether you believe it or not. Well, send me a check. I'll give you my address. I'll take your money. But no, I am pro-Israel because it's the right thing to do. That's why. And I think I'm not alone here. I think a lot of people are just pro-Israel for any reason. Maybe it's biblical. Maybe it's strategic. The values align. It's the Jewish homeland. The better question for me, though, why do you care so much? The amount of money the United States gives to Israel in the form of weapons or whatever it may be, like I said, is like a rounding error on defense spending. It's significant, but overall it's insignificant. What is it? That's where this like anti-Semitism comes in. Maybe you just don't like the Jews. Why does the modern American left not like Jewish people? Give me another explanation, somebody. I'm all ears. Is it anti-Semitism or what? Toothless Bammer. Jeff, you remind me of Keith Olbermann when he left ESPN for MSNBC hoping to cover serious news. That's when the Lewinsky Clinton scandal happened. Keith seemed frustrated ever since. I think Keith Olbermann has some other issues to deal with as well. That eagle form spot on gambling is nauseating. Is it the, which one? Unnamed texter, James has Trump derangement syndrome. Unnamed texter, anti-Semitism legislation sounds woke. I could criticize America, but not Israel. Well, but when you start criticizing Jewish people in particular, it's not just Israel. I think that's an important distinction. And there's some of that going on. Jewish students are being targeted for being Jewish. It's documented. I was disgusted with Dems reelected Clinton after having sex with an intern in the Oval Office. For me, that was when all bets were off for me. James needs to get off his high horse. Sir James here. Good morning, Jeff. James, the official troll of the Jeff Poor Show, sounds to me to be a bit liberal, so he just doesn't get it. Also, did you know, Jeff, that his middle name might be Ricky? No, I don't think James' middle name is Ricky. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And offers coming over the phone.
Time. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at Up and Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. What you got to do, you got to shoot me a text, and the text will probably be read on air. Hopefully, it'll be read, time permitting. Still to come, Paul DeMarco. So a little bit of a development in the gambling saga that the House conferees have relented, and the money for the Ag Center is back in the budget, apparently, or will be voted on to be back in the budget. So here we are back at square row one, and still no lottery, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now from News and Views, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our good friend Joey Clark. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing this morning, Jeff?
Just another walk in the park. I'm glad to be back home. It's been a rough few days, but we have managed to make it back home, and here we are. I spent just a few hours up your way yesterday, but Birmingham a lot of this week so far, and it's just it's a slog, but nothing beats home.
And are we celebrating, is this the last day, the final legislative day?
Tomorrow will be. Guys, you're going to love this. Tomorrow they will sine-die, and that means that's the end of the session, supposedly. There's an off chance they may carry that day over if they think the governor's going to veto something. But why wouldn't they just sine-die today? So the Speaker of the House is having this sine-die party tonight. What they sign, yeah, it sounds ritzy, doesn't it? But
yes,
if they were to signy die today, most of the people would just go home and skip the party. If they wait the signy die, then people are a little less reluctant to split town, and they'll go to his party tonight.
No, that's a way to have a big old party, hold everybody hostage.
Isn't that something? That's what I'm told. That may be just phony baloney hearsay, but it makes sense to me. But anyway, enough of that. Hey, Joey, how gripping do you find the salacious details of Stormy Daniels' encounter with Donald Trump that are being, laid out in a New York City courtroom?
I mean, I'm not, because we've heard them before. Like, are we just repeating the same news from, 3-4 years ago? What man doesn't want to be spanked with a magazine with his face on the cover? I mean, come on, folks, let's be honest.
I mean, if you could, like, would you, if you could, I mean, honestly, Joey.
Yeah, why not? It's just, it's so silly. Like, I find it absurd, and the idea that they're going to get him on this trial, I think there's literally the tape of Michael Cohen saying that, we'll take care of it, Mr. Trump, we'll take care of it, talking about the payment. So it sounds like Trump didn't have anything to do with the accounting, which is the actual violation in this case. And it's a BS case anyway. They came up with some, state law in New York to be able to trigger an accounting felony on a federal election violation. Just silly.
Yeah, it's a stretch, and I think my guess is, and then this is my speculation. Like they're very simple minded. These pseudo intellectual elites, they think that if they can just pull all this dirty laundry out in a court, in a public setting, in a court of law, under oath, that us dumb simpletons with our Bible thumping, mouth breathing, low sloping forehead types down here will see that Donald Trump's up to no good. We better vote for Joe Biden. I mean, they really believe that.
Yeah, and it's absurd. And I think the lawfare stuff is also falling apart for him with the continuation, indefinite continuation, Eileen Canada in the documents case, where this none of this might come up before the election. So, in a way, the American people, especially us here in Alabama, we're going to be the jury. And I love some jury nullification, no matter what the important rule of law people are saying. You know, we don't like that. People have spoken.
Well, I think the lawfare stuff only works if you're just trying to beat someone in submission without deep pockets, without the ability to go toe-to-toe with the state who has unlimited funds. And it turns out these prosecutors and these politically minded, state's attorneys or district attorneys or whatever they are in that jurisdiction are just not that impressive. I mean, Fannie Willis, for example.
Exactly right. And I think this is also going to backfire in the sense of there have been plenty of politicians who got in legal trouble who were criminally convicted, and they turn around and win re-election because people just like them. Marion Barry, didn't he, get reelected after all his troubles?
Marion Barry, we got one down here, Herman Thomas. I don't know. He ran. I don't think he's been elected. But you're right. There are these people who are like, I think what it is, it's like the Tiger Woods phenomenon. They like a good redemption story sometimes. Now, I don't know that Trump really fits in that that hole, but not that Trump's seeking redemption, but there is something to that where people get their acts together and we like a good comeback story in America.
Well, Jeff, what I'm actually looking for is retribution, not redemption. And my favorite story, and this is, I think, fits Trump. It goes back to the beginning of the Republic with President Adams. They passed the Alien and Sedition Acts because, the French are going to take over. Jacobins cutting people's heads off in the streets like they're doing in France. And one guy was a newspaper owner, congressman named Matthew Lyon. And he wrote all sorts of things in his newspaper trying to violate the law, the Alien and Sedition Acts, on purpose, which specifically said you could not criticize the president. So one day, he's actually speaking out in the street to Washington, D.C., which is still really a swamp back then. And at that time, President Adams had spent too much time in Europe. So he's wearing, like, purple robes with gold tassels. And like a lot of middle-aged men, he's a little thick, a little fat. And Matthew Lyon, seeing him walk by, goes, "Ah, ladies and gentlemen, his rotundity." And apparently that was the final straw. Lyon is thrown in prison, and he wins re-election from prison back to Congress. And I think he's completely pardoned or whatever it is when Jefferson takes over. So there's plenty of examples of folks going, "I think this law is unjust. I'm going to break it on purpose in public," and people will reward them for it.
Well, do you think we're to the point where this is going to be the new normal?
I hope not. I really hope something gives. Part of me thinks this is just the way we have to go, because I don't know if you saw that Tucker Carlson, Rachel Maddow old interview from 2006 making the rounds. I don't want to go back to that world where everybody kind of sounds like they're an Aaron Sorkin character and everybody's way too chummy in Washington, D.C., even the opponents. I think something needs to be had out here. And the idea of constant legal battles, criminalizing political activity is, that's an ugly, it's going to be ugly.
Well, a little bit of background on that whole Rachel Maddow, Tucker Carlson, like, relationship. Like, they were buddies back then, but this is a different Tucker, like, way different than Tucker 2024 is way different from, like, what was that, Tucker 2007, I guess, or when he had his MSNBC show, he and Willie Geist, pre-Morning Joe, Imus, Don Imus is still on the air there. I mean, that was a totally different world back then.
It really is, and it looks like Maddow and Tucker are the same barber back then.
Maybe they did because the hairstylist, and you've ever been on TV, Joey, when you go on cable news, they really do like do a number to everything about you. You look like a totally different person.
Oh, I believe it. I think it's Megyn Kelly said she was never referred to as a hot woman or whatever until she started at Fox and she called it the magic makeup department. They will make, do it to the fellas too.
Yeah, they'll make you whatever color you want to be. So I've been on Fox two times in my life, three times, but Fox News twice and Fox Business once. And they really like, my wife's been on a lot more than I have. I mean, it's the middle of December and she's getting makeup put on her and she looks like she just got out of a tanning bed. It's remarkable what these people are capable of at these cable news channels. But that's what I think is, you said the same hairstylist. That's what I think was going on there. There's a lot of hair product going around.
Yeah, maybe they're just cut from the same cloth. And, you know, that some people long for that world, or they'll even long further back, like the days when Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan could sit down and have a drink. I think that happened once, by the way.
Well, it was a different time. I mean, like, go read, like, you know who Robert Novak is. He's a columnist for the Washington Post. Like, he was, the D.C. culture was way different than it is today. It was more of a drinking town, and you didn't have the TV exposure. The only thing that was, like, really close to what we had today was, like, the McLaughlin Group. Everything else that was sort of right of center or left of center media was done in like New York or other places, like Rush Limbaugh. I mean, like he never spent time in D.C. D.C. was like an island to itself, far less important in our culture at the time, but it was just a big drinking town and everybody kind of hung out and they did drink a lot. I mean, and they still do. And you still see it, like you'll see members go head to head and back and forth. And then, you go down to one of the sad touristy bars on Pennsylvania Avenue and you'll see the staffs out together, you know, of the different sides of the aisle. There's still a lot of that going on, but before it was as big as it is, I mean, it was really kind of that kind of town.
Well, and people have done the research of, it's almost like these heat intensity maps. Where they're, you can say red and blue, Republican and Democrat, where there's a lot of overlap. People have common family ties. People have common business ties. People drink together. And in the last, say, 20 something years, it's now completely segregated, like completely siloed off almost. I mean, some people defy that rule, but that's where we seem to have gone. And I don't know what the solution is to get everybody to break bread again. Because what's fascinating in that Maddow Tucker interview, you can see the seeds of this discord coming up. For instance, I think Maddow glibly says something like, well, we're now the Democrats are in there, we'll pass the transgender amendment. Both are in Tucker. And it's like, well, yeah, fast forward 20 years later, a lot of these things that were fringe jokes are now in the mainstream. And I would say that's for the right and the left, that both sides have become more extreme. And I think that's because the house that is America needs a massive renovation, restoration, and something's got to give here eventually.
The two of them, I guess, they're completely different people now, though. Like Maddow was kind of like more of a wild-eyed, like she's a liberal still, but back then she was still kind of like in a college student-y kind of like liberalism, you know, idealist.
Right.
No cynicism, and the world hadn't beaten her down. And Tucker, like, I watched his transformation, Joey. I tell you where it really started. My wife and I were kind of working at the Daily Caller at the time, but he was going to have lunch on a regular basis with Jeff Sessions. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a prayer lunch or whatever. It was just like they would talk about trade and immigration and the middle class, he'd said. And he talked to us all about this, told us all about it. Because the Session view in Congress at the time, or in the Senate at the time, I mean, that's what it's, you know, he was the immigration guy that he played by the Senate's rules. But like, I Jeff Sessions had like a big impact on Tucker. And then he just kind of like, once Jeff Sessions exits the stage, like he keeps, this transformation just keeps continuing continuing, and then obviously the Fox experience and what that led to. And now it's like, I don't know where you would put him, like, you know, Joe Rogan-esque or wherever. Is it someone that the people look up to? But a far different audience than what he started out as, sort of the sidekick to Robert Novak on Crossfire against Bogala and Carville, to where he is today.
Well, it seems he's jumped out of that old Washington culture you're talking about, literally down to the smoking cigarettes and drinking, and he's joined the podcast world, you know, dropping Zen nicotine pouches in his mouth while he's sleeping. And there's a weird, like, that horseshoe theory that, you know, Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and a lot of these guys can sit down, and though you would think by the old metrics they shouldn't get along, they are getting along now. And it's great to see somebody of Tucker's prominence, especially how he left Fox, make that decision. And you're seeing it with a lot of the former people. They're still doing quite well for themselves. And it's a different world, and it is producing a very different culture.
I mean, Tucker Carlson, bow tie era Tucker Carlson, lived in Georgetown, sent his kids to St. Andrews. It was just like your typical Washington, D.C., elitist prototype, lived down the street from like all these like TV cable news celebrity types, and they all like had their dinners and their little salons together. And after Trump, like after Trump's election, that shook everything to its core. And you know, you really did draw a line in the sand. You're either with us or against us, and it just wrecked friendships. It broke a lot of people. Like, that was the seismic event. And I still think we're kind of figuring it out after that.
Well, and it goes back to how we started the conversation. I think that's why we're still repeating the controversies of 16, 17, 18 over and over again. That Trump, I think, broke it. And there's no way to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And until both sides or somebody with the political acumen and the coalition say, ooh, I need to build something new comes along, I think we're going to keep really, you know, painfully reliving all this stuff.
I think you're right. I don't think you put it back together, Joey. I don't think right versus left, it's still going to be there, but it's not going to be as prominent as maybe we knew it 20 years ago. That it is something new is coming out of this. I don't know what. And it's, you know, most people are not going to really notice. It's not going to really change your life. But sort of the ideologically and what party politics stands for and these things, something new is going to come from it.
Yeah, and I think the biggest shift is media culture. And it's fascinating to watch this battle that's coming up. You know, as much as, say, somebody like RFK Jr. shouldn't be a threat, dadgum, the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, everybody's Vanity Fair, they're all trying to do a number on the guy. They seem worried. And I'm not saying RFK Jr. represents the future necessarily, but he represents a future where you don't have the same gatekeepers anymore. God willing, I think Trump started it. Let's have more folks throwing bombs like that.
Yeah, and RFK Jr. may be like the way things go in the future. Like, this is just kind of like, it takes a few cycles for this to really catch on and work. But this is, I mean, people said that about Ross Perot too, and it never really took. But maybe this time it's for real.
Well, and I love developments too that nobody could have voted for, and not too many people would have expected, maybe wished and prayed for. I would say one of the biggest developments in the last few years is Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning it into X. That was such a huge change for the country, and I think a huge win for the right wing. And I don't even want to say right wing. I would call it politically incorrect or unwoke. This roast of Tom Brady that came out over the weekend for Netflix, to me, I'm like, if there was any woke with power left in the country, it was killed. It was, you know, a cruise missile strike to it over the weekend, because all those jokes for an audience of millions, I mean, this is kind of a good sign that the America I know and love, and I know millions do, is coming back.
Joe, you got out of here a little long there, but we do appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right, Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mister, many thanks. He said, you don't.
But then laugh at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony keg. They'll lead you around town like a scalded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Yeah, go to Jackson.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk to Paul DeMarco. Some developments on Goat Hill that we'll wade into. I kind of went through it a little earlier. Waiting to see where this goes, but essentially the farmers and Shea Sheldon in particular, the farmer whatever caucus, if you will, called the bluff of the pro gamblers. This gambling's just kind of scary to me because the pro gambling crowd in Montgomery right now is way, way out punching its weight class, taking on some juggernauts of Alabama clout. The business community, the farmers. I mean, gambling, and I don't know if it's just a happenstance, a coincidence, or whatever, but these are the people you don't want to get on their bad side, and gambling's like, well, let's go. So, see, guys, you want just a simple, clean lottery. You just want a right to vote on a lottery. Do you really think that's how the world works? Are you really that naive? Tell me if you are. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Moore, the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you reach me, your show host, if you so choose. A comment, complaint, suggestion, whatever it is that's on your mind. And notice some of you aren't very shy, but we will, except for Ricky, but we do appreciate the feedback, either be it positive, negative, or whatever it should be. Let's, we have an opportunity here, and we'll get into some news here a little bit later in the segment, but knock out these texts. Gene, I have no problem with Jews. I have problem with Bibi Netanyahu, who is an awful human being besides being an indicted politician and a war criminal. I mean, he is the elected leader of Israel. I think this weird sort of impulse of the American left to try to Trumpify Netanyahu's stupid. But that's what they're doing. They're trying to make Netanyahu out to be Donald Trump. And it's clear. I mean, you watch cable news and you watch these. The people who have never been particularly friendly about the whole concept of Israel, who the same people who utter two-state solution like on a regular basis when you bring this up. There can be no two-state solution, okay? It's physically, geographically impossible. Unless you think Jordan's going to give up some territory, maybe then you can pull it off. But Gaza, it's just not going to happen. Maybe they can build a tunnel from Gaza to the West Bank. They're very good at building tunnels. All that humanitarian aid they use on tunnels. But the idea is very around the globe, around the world, especially in Islamic nations. It's very anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. And when you come to the United States, oh, I'm anti-Israel, but I'm not anti-Semitic. I mean, why is it different? I suppose it's like being what's a good analogy?
anti-Kenya, but I'm not anti-black. Anti-China, but I'm not anti-Asian. I don't know. I'm anti-Israel, but not anti-Semitic. How? A named texture, Trump is not stupid, but he is a twisted and evil con man, probably the greatest con man ever. Did you vote for him, texter? Unnamed texter, anti-Semitism legislation sounds woke. I can criticize America, but not Israel. While Bible salesman wouldn't want to be spanked with a magazine by a porn star. Now, you telling me you wouldn't want that? Some of you out there, I know you're lying. Finally, Dirt Digger. Democratic Party in the college is being overwhelmed by Muslims. They use transgender as a uniter, but Islamic people are against homosexuality. They stone them in countries when they take over. Country, here comes Sharia law. Women lose and gays and Christians better wake up. I don't know what this is a deeper conversation. The woke agenda, which is so out of the mainstream in America, so far out of the mainstream, but where is this coming from? Why? Some of it's just to poke people, the traditions in the eye and the standards in the eye and be anti-normal and like really try to upset the apple cart and shake up America. Just have these way outside the box like views on politics. Some of it's this. Here's exactly what it is. Because you probably know this person. Probably works the New York Times crossword puzzle. Probably thinks that we could just plan society, that if we all just all pitch in and did our part, the world would be a better place. And we need to be a united people, walking lockstep together for a better globe. And it's disruptors like Donald Trump, ignorant know-nothings, selfish, power-hungry, con man, I've seen the last couple of texts, that just upset the whole world plan, the world order. You just need to stay out of the way, Donald Trump. The world order has this. You need to trust us. You are selling these people a bill of goods, and they're not smart enough to know. We're the smart people. They're the dumb people. Let the dumb people go work the blue-collar jobs, and we'll just tell them where to go and point them in the right direction. We have the college degrees from the good colleges. It's an elitism. And if you take it to its logical destination, a little further down the line, I think, like, this woke culture, this idea of inclusivity, is just, they're just trying to build a bigger and bigger coalition to create that like global lockstep. Like, we all must conform. And to get conformity, we have to overlook our differences. Well, some differences are just glaring. Like wanting to dress up like a female and wearing dresses when you are a male and things like that, and having these weird, peculiar behaviors. People are not able just to overlook them and say, yeah, it's no big deal. And trying to get our children to overlook them and tell them that that's normal kind of rubs people the wrong way. It's a rejection of like 1,000-year civilization norms is what makes people like kind of push back against all this. But that's the tug and pull and back and forth of what's going on right now. It's just, it's naive. It's very man, it's like human being that we can all just, we just all do our part, that we don't need God, we don't need a higher power. We can do it ourselves. It's just a different outlook on life, and I think it's going to fail. It's going to fall flat on its face. 251-343-0106. If you want to be on the program, what you do is you text me and let me know what you're thinking. No big updates from Goat Hill. Gambling, I think it's dead. The next big thing we're watching for is the ethics bill that our buddy Matt Simpson from Daphne is trying to get done. Could really, really overhaul the ethics laws in Alabama. And I know there's all kinds of finger pointing and suggestions that there's something that's kind of suspect about all of it. We wouldn't be in this position if they hadn't rushed that ethics law in 2010 at the end of Riley's term. What had happened was Riley is still governor until some date in January, whatever it is. And you had for the first time since Reconstruction, a Republican-controlled Alabama legislature. And Riley wanted to get a few shots in before he left office, and he calls a special session. And the Republican legislature meets, and they pass an ethics law that we are working under today. The problem was, I mean, it was, number one, rushed, but it really wasn't well thought out. I think it was used, it was weaponized, or there's the potential for it to be weaponized against political opponents because it's so broadly interpreted. And I think Matt Simpson's given a good faith effort here to try to make some of the definitions clear. He's reached out to all the players. But when you take something this big and you start moving things around, people get upset. They lose their power, or they lose their authorities. And that's why I think so many people are come out against it. Whatever you think of it, something's got to be done. It's a terrible law. 251-343-0106. That's still on the docket, potentially. We're going to see where that goes. And if it gets through, we'll find out here the next 24 hours or so of the legislative session. And then we'll do a big wrap-up on Friday with Senator Elliott. And maybe we'll extend that into Monday. I'll try to get a few more lawmakers next week, now that they have a little time, just to come on for 15 minutes or so, talk about their bills, talk about the accomplishments, talk about how your life is going to change for whatever it is that they have done. But you probably won't be getting that right to vote on a lottery. And I better knock on wood, because who knows? This thing's been killed so many times, and it keeps coming back to life. But the odds are against it right now. It's still alive, I suppose. Maybe we'll wait and see. It's the Senate-passed bill. Will be the bill, and maybe the House will take it, and then they'll just pass that bill. But they're passing the bills back and forth. That's what usually happens this time of the year. And then they go to the governor's desk, and you know how a bill becomes law. But we haven't seen a session like this in a long, long time. Just consume so much of the news cycle. You know, typically we try to make a little news out of it and get a little news out of it. But right now, so many moving parts and pieces and horse trading. Buck. I spent more than 5 years of my life in the Middle East during the war. Woke America conscience and their transgenderism beliefs would lead them to be executed quickly. Well, Buck, see, they think that they can change those people. And this is like a little bit of the neoconism that inhabited our politics. That if people just had a chance to experience Jeffersonian democracy, then they would appreciate it. And we could, but like Western and Eastern cultures are very different. So when he tried to do Jeffersonian democracy in Iraq, they just vote themselves a theocracy in. And it's so hard for a secular-ish intelligentsia to understand that. But that's what's going on. Pat, if everyone in D.C. against one man, then I am for. It doesn't mean that I believe everything he does or says, but he ran the country just fine last time with better help than he had previously. I bet he could do even better. I think that he, if he gets elected, he's got a clean house. Like, we got to just, you got to wipe out the CIA, the FBI. You got to start from scratch. It's going to be, you're going to hear like Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night massacre. But you can't trust these people. Look what they did to him last time. They orchestrate these investigations. They create these witch hunts, right? Well, the Mueller investigation was a witch hunt. And Trump, trying to be honorable, listening to his advisors, doesn't fire him. I think the first thing he does, he starts firing special prosecutors if he's elected. All these guys are gone. You write a few pardons, you get to dock it, you get the slate wiped clean. This election is a referendum on a lot of that in a lot of ways. 251-343-0106. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all.
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Be in touch with the show. You text me. Come up in the next segment. We'll hear from Paul DeMarco, regular on this program, so stay tuned for that. A programming note tomorrow on the program, we do have Congressman Barry Moore working on who else will be on. We'll see how the session goes. I may try to get a lawmaker or two, but it really just depends on the news cycle. So, but we for sure have down Barry Moore, Congressman from the 2nd Congressional District. Mr. Plott, if Trump loses, I will be suspicious. I'm not talking revolution nonsense. I'm really concerned about the court stuff. Are we a banana republic now? I'm not joking. Is there a basis for these courtroom appearances? I'm just a GED guy who enjoyed civics and history. Shout out to George Dickey. If you took notes during his lectures and studied those, you needn't open the textbook. Well, here's the referendum. Like, essentially, this is it, guys. The court of public opinion is going to determine Trump's fate. Because if Trump wins, he'll just fire special prosecutor, write himself a pardon. All that is done. And I think Georgia and New York will have to relent. I don't think those are very solid cases at all. But consider the other option. If he loses, Joe Biden's reelected. No matter what happens, and Trump goes to jail, you know what the appearance is going to be? Third world country, banana republic stuff, like you say, that Biden's jailing his political opponents. And what is he, Vladimir Putin now? I think Biden will want to avoid that. He'll want to avoid being perceived that way in history. I bet he pardons Trump. But that's the referendum. That's the vote we're taking right now. You may not like it. You may think it's stupid and it's oversimplification, but it seems like that's where this is headed. The lawfare is backfiring. I said this from the get-go, and I think this is true universally, Democrat, Republican, Biden, Trump, Clinton, whoever. When you get elected president, when you're president of the United States, you do have a certain immunity from crimes that you and I would be charged with. For the sake of the country, for the stability of the country, the stability of the country's economic system, its stock market, its ability to borrow, the perception of America cannot be that we jail our political opponents because then we're just Brazil, we're just some developing banana republic-ish sort of government. The reason the United States, post-World War II, fares as well as it has is people invest in the U.S. because it is stable. It is perceived to be a very stable government. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It is not going anywhere. We don't have coups. We don't have any of that nonsense. We're a very stable country. And the minute you start prosecuting and jailing and playing this lawfare game with the political system, and, I mean, this is what power does to people. But when you start doing that, there's losers there. The economic system suffers. And I just think that, like, you don't want to do that. That's why presidents and, you know, even some high-ranking politicians enjoy an undeserved immunity. It's just not good for the country to go after Trump the way they have over petty, silly, contrived, concocted, artificial charges. They're testing the waters. But if this becomes the new normal, Joey and I were talking about it, it's going to be a problem in the future because Republicans will return the favor. Monty, I don't give a damn what Trump did in his personal life before his presidency. His ego is huge for certain, but that drives him to accomplish positive things for people, working people, and the country in general. If anyone doesn't think our country was a better place and we weren't in a better place economically, you are an absolute idiot. Or you're just trying to make me believe otherwise. I'm starting to think Democrats are comprised of narcissists. Everyone knows how they try to manipulate the truth. Thank you for that, Monty. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.